You're listening to Modern Multifamily, a podcast that inspires industry operators and suppliers to think bigger. My name is Mike Wilbur, the Chief Revenue Officer of Rent Dynamics, and in this show, I'm sitting down with leaders across the multifamily industry to discuss topics tied to innovation, technology, and improving renter experiences. Welcome to another episode of Modern Multifamily. In this episode, you'll get to know Gary Gregory. With more than 20 years of experience in the multifamily industry and a two-time best-selling author, the insights in this episode proved to be endless. You'll hear about Gary's leadership principles and the impact that Ironman Triathlon has had on his career. I hope you enjoyed this time with Gary as much as I did. Let's get into it. Gary, thank you so much for joining today. I'm excited to connect with you, and I have so many questions. I actually want to start with a curveball for you. I was on your LinkedIn profile. You've done Ironman triathlons.
I have. That is something that I love to do. I was a competitive triathlete, a sponsored triathlete, and ended up doing an Ironman along with many ultra marathons and other races, but that was something fun that I just love to do, and so many lessons from about goal setting and perseverance and pushing your limits that came from doing that Ironman and all the other things associated with it.
So I've done a handful of Ironmans. I've qualified for Boston. I lost a lot of weight back in college. Yeah. And you're the first person I've ever connected with in the space that's been like a pure, like, I had no idea, because most people just talk about it all the time. So seeing that on your profile was really cool.
Yeah. It was fun. Something that accidentally happened. I met somebody, you know, it's the craziest thing. The things that you end up doing, it come from the alignments that you find. It's always alignment before assignment. So these people that you meet along the way in your life, your career, those alignments that you make end up connecting you with these different assignments. And, you know, it's a whole long story about me connecting with this person that introduced me to triathlons and racing and all the things. And it so many lessons again along the way. In fact, that was, I co-authored a book kind of sharing my story going from sitting on the couch to completing an Ironman. But it's an incredible journey. And Mike, I'm sure you're well aware of that as well.
Oh, I think that's so cool. And I think once you've been in sport at a competitive or even just a goal of completing, I think you do see a lot of the parallels between endurance sports, other sports as well.
Oh yeah.
And the business world, you know, me as a family man, like all of those things. I could talk about that for the next 4 hours easily.
You and me both.
Well, hey, so let's start off just, you know, background. I'd love to hear your story, who you are, what you're up to, and how you got to this seat you're in today where you're doing seemingly everything at a really high level. I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started in student housing at the University of Houston and was a resident advisor. And so that was kind of my introduction to, you know, housing in some respect. So after graduation, I left. My supervisor at the time called me back and said, hey, you know, I want you to come back and work at the University of Houston, you know, on a grander scale. So I went back there, did that for some of the housing area at U of H, and ended up leaving again, doing some software training across the country. And then I ended up getting a phone call from my same supervisor again, saying, hey, I'm in another student housing location. It's with a privatized housing. Do you want to come down here and check it out? I was like, absolutely. So I went down there and started doing privatized student housing at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Absolutely amazing, with Camden Property Trust. And it was such an incredible experience doing that with privatized housing, and did that for about 7 years. And eventually saw an opportunity to move to Dallas and try my hand at multifamily. I was like, this is something new, something different. And it was a challenge. So I made that move to Dallas area and started multifamily housing, and have just been in this career for a long time now.
What are the parallels? What are the stark differences? I've been in the space for about 7 years now, and between student and multifamily, I've spent a humongo percentage of my time focused on really conventional multifamily.
Sure.
I'm sure you brought in some really strong, you know, capabilities in a multifamily, but what were the differences like?
Oh, I tell you, with student housing, probably the biggest difference, there's in my perspective, there's two big differences. One is in student housing, you have your one customer is actually two customers because you have the student and you have the parent. So those two customers, even though you're only housing the student, you still have to work with the parent in a big respect. So it's kind of, you know, it's double the communication, it's double the efforts in respect to making sure all of that information and the comfort level, one for the parent and one for the student, is presented well. So that's kind of a doubled up effort. And so that teaches you how to be extremely organized, extremely consistent with your message. But you also, even though you're consistent with the message, you tailor it a little bit to your audience. So the student wants to hear something, or they're able to receive it, you know, in a different way. Whereas the parent, their expectations of the message is a little bit different. They're, you know, a little bit more detailed. So you're consistent with the message, but you tailor it to your audience. So that was something interesting that I learned along the way. And then the second thing is with student housing, it is a mad rush for move-ins and move-outs. So you prepare for your move-ins, you prepare for your move-outs, and it is a significant event when you get your fall move-in. The student housing that I did at the time, we had a little over 1,300 beds. And so we would move in over the course of 3-4 days, 1,000 students. And so the preparation level is a whole nother level. And so you learn how to organize yourself. You learn how to organize a team and to ensure that you've got all of the things that you need before that day happens. Because once that day happens, there's no going back. just have to be ready.
Well, yeah, I mean, we started with Iron Man. You talk about being ready for race day. I have to think that's got to be that race day magic feeling.
Exactly. There's so much preparation that goes into it. You can't just walk up to the start line of an Iron Man without spending a significant amount of time preparing to get to that start line. That's the same thing with student housing. You just got to prepare before you get to that start line.
It makes a ton of sense. I'm curious, have you ever worked in or with senior housing at all in any of the portfolios you've been a part of?
I did for just a brief minute. When I was working for Steadfast, we had a senior housing community, but it was just for a very brief moment. It was part of my portfolio. So
hearing the way you talked about student, I'd never necessarily thought of that way, the renter or the student, as well as, you know, mom or dad. In student housing, I think that's one, or excuse me, in senior housing, that's always been an interesting part of that industry as well. And I've spent quite a bit of time there. You're working not just with that potential resident, but with the adult child who's shopping on behalf of mom and dad. So there's actually a really interesting parallel there that I'd never heard before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a correlation between the two. So, I mean, you have your resident and then you have their adult child, and there's different levels of communication, different expectations of information that both of your customers want. And so you, again, it's the same thing. You're consistent with the message, but you tailor it to that audience. So the adult child's going to want to hear one piece of information and the resident is going to want to hear another piece, but it's a consistent message.
That makes sense. So I pulled out Iron Man. You gave us a little bit of the background on student and how you found yourself into multifamily with quite an accomplished career. You haven't talked about your development as an author. And I'm really curious.
Oh, yeah.
How does this happen? What have you written about? You seem quite accomplished from what I found, but I want to hear your words, not mine. I'd love to hear the story of how you came to be an author and what that whole process has looked like.
Absolutely. So I mentioned earlier about, you know, my journey into the Iron Man was about alignment before assignment. And so this isn't a mirror story. It's about alignment before assignment. So I happened to connect with a gentleman on LinkedIn, a gentleman by the name of Mike Rodriguez, who is an accomplished author himself. He's a motivational speaker. And so I just started following him. And I saw that he was going to be in town, my town, on a specific day doing an in-person motivational seminar. So I was like, man, I love this guy, want to connect. And so I went to the seminar and I got there a little early and was able to chat with him briefly. And during the course of my conversation, I said, hey, my goal someday has always been to write a book. And it was just a passing comment with Mike. And I thought nothing of it, went to the seminars, blown away, all incredible information. And then later he reaches back out to me and says, hey, Gary, I remember you said you wanted to write a book. I've got an opportunity. If you're interested, send me a sample and we'll see, you know, you can be a part of this co-authored book that we're putting together. So I sent him a sample and he accepted it. And that led to my first book, a co-author book, which ended up being a bestseller on Amazon. And from that, man, I just got the bug. And I decided, I was like, you know, I want to write another book. I want to write my own book and share my experiences. And that led to my first book. And that led to my second book, which ended up being a number one new release and bestseller on Amazon. And so it was simply from an alignment that I connected with. I shared my goal. He held me accountable to it, called me out on it, says, hey, do you want to do this? I had a choice that I could say no, or I could say yes to something that I had as a goal. You know, I spoke it and I have an opportunity. When there's an opportunity, you run with it. You take it, you know, and you figure it out. And that was the story of writing these books.
Wow. So I think in this day and age, social media, there's so much short form content and we all consume a lot of short form media, whether it's LinkedIn or Twitter or even, you know, TikTok and Clubhouse. But the long form media, I mean, storytelling through the written word, I mean, that is an art. I'm sure it's a science as well. When you say that you'd always had that as a goal, had this always been something where you found yourself defaulting to writing or telling stories, or how do you even get to the point where you feel compelled to write a book?
Well, you know, I'd always enjoyed writing, you know, to your point, the short form. And there was, you know, so I had all these short form stories that I had put together from experiences, because, you know, one of the things that I love is to be aware of those experiences that are happening around you. That's awareness. And so I love kind of absorbing all of these things and then writing them out and sharing my experiences with other people. And that was like, you know what, let me put all these experiences, this information together and share it. And so that was the first book that I did. There was a lot of experiences that I've had. I'd written out little short stories about these experiences with real people that I've connected with and had conversations with and was inspired by. And so I put all these together in a format that I felt gives people kind of an idea of how to create their own approach to the world. And so I connected those. And then the second book, The Super Fantastic Process, that for me was let's pull more information from the first book. Let me pull all these experiences from the leaders that I have had in my world, my career, and let's create a process by which you can become the best leader or a better leader day by day through a process. And that's what the Super Fantastic Process became, was all of these different leaders from different industries. But, you know, of course, multifamily is my world. So there was a lot of multifamily leaders that I pulled all of the best things that I was able to, you know, I love that. I love this. I love that this person's doing. And I pulled it all together and I gleaned kind of the things that they were doing that I saw were successful. I was like, you know, this leader of mine is doing this that I find extremely successful, and this leader. And I pulled it all together and created that process by which I felt you could pull all these things together to become that salt of the earth leader.
I think that is, I mean, one of the most humble ways, but also relatable ways to create something. I mean, personally, when I learn, I love to hear a storyteller like you talking about other people's learnings and how they, you know, failed forward or found themselves into the career they're in by design, but also by experience. And I'm curious, as you look in your vast career in multifamily and all of the leadership roles that exist, and I'll say without ranting too long or riffing too long, it always blows me away that you have these property managers, regional leadership teams over, you know, fractional portfolios. Of course, people like you that work more globally. I mean, real estate is such a value creating industry. We're creating homes for people.
Right.
And I have to wonder, like, what does leadership training look like in the industry? It's probably very dependent on the organization. But have you found, what are the parallels been like as you've become an author, created the Super Fantastic Process, and has that benefited your direct career or people that you work with?
Oh, yeah. So kind of to your first point, the leadership that I see across there that I've heard and that I've experienced is a lot of times it's super easy to fall into a checklist manager approach where, you know, as a company, you know, we're by the budget, we've got to meet budget. So here's your checklist to make sure we get to that budget number. And from my experience, the successful components have been beyond just a checklist. It's been the relationship. And to your point, Mike, you know, it's we in the multifamily industry, it is about homes. And to create a home, you have to create a relationship. Without that relationship, then we're just selling boxes for people to live in. But once we start creating that relationship with our customer and with each other, then we start creating homes. And so it's a totally different perspective if you want to create a different type of success. Because you can be absolutely successful with a checklist. You know, I'm checking off the boxes, I'm getting people in the door, I'm renewing them, or as they're leaving, I'm getting another person in there. And it's checklist. But you're not getting much out of that. And it's a short-term goal, it's a short-term vision. But if you create a leadership, a relationship-based process, then you're thinking long-term. You're thinking that person that comes through the door, they're more than likely going to renew. And so it's a long-term process of building that day by day. And that correlated in my book is it's a process. There's never going to be an end to becoming a leader. You know, a leader is an ongoing experience, an ongoing growth. And if you feel like you've hit perfection, then you've given up on potential growth. You've given up on potential improvement. And so that's why I think in my book, it talks about you never want to be perfect. You just want to be better than you were the day before. And I think that's part of relationship leadership is being better than you were the day before, establishing those relationships so that you can create that type of long-term vision growth.
So would you say that that's one of the big differences between the checklist leadership you talked about and really embodying that process that you're speaking of here, kind of making sure that there is no finish line and that you're always moving forward? Is that one of the big differences, or what are some of the other ones you see as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think once you see the finish line, and it's just like in Ironman races, when you hit that finish line, you may be tired, but you're already looking for the next race to sign up for. And you're already looking at your next training plan to get to that next race. And that's the same thing in leadership, because you may set goals and that's great. And you want to enjoy that journey to get to that goal. You want to learn as you're getting to that goal, but each goal should be the start of a new journey. So you want to continuously grow, continuously look at your mistakes, look at the opportunities that you may have missed, because we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. And there's so many changing dynamics in the multifamily industry with the relationships. And then, you know, there's new laws, there's new ways to connect with your potential prospects and guests and work with each other. So you're constantly evolving, constantly changing, constantly learning. And I think that's what the process does. Because if you're simply on that checklist, and you're stuck on that checklist, there's no growth from that. There's no change until eventually you change a checklist, but then again, you're stuck on that checklist. So that's why I feel like there's value in checklists, don't get me wrong, but I think there's greater value in the process of building the leaders. Because once you get in the leadership relationship growth, and I talk about this in my book, The Super Fantastic Process, is there's three types of leaders: internal, external, and overall. And for a a leader to start developing, and I saw this through my experiences, through other people and myself, the internal leader is the person that starts to grow themselves. I mean, you can't be a leader blank check. You got to grow yourself. You got to learn. You got to do different things to grow your knowledge and your skills and your experiences. And then that leads into external leadership. Now, that external leadership takes that internal leader and starts sharing all of these things that you have learned, that you've experienced, and you start sharing it with your team. And your team starts seeing these things that you are sharing, that you are giving them, you know, information and sharing all this valuable information and guiding them along the way and supporting them. From that external leadership, you start creating overall leadership. And what the overall leadership is where your team starts to become leaders themselves. They start leading themselves and they start leading each other, whereas eventually you can become a leadership factory. And so if you follow that process, internal leadership, develop yourself, external leadership, where you're developing and sharing with other people, that creates an overall leadership opportunity where you can support your team to become leaders themselves and they start leading other people as well.
I'm just over here nodding and smiling if you're not watching the video and you're just listening to the audio. But I'll tell you that I think a lot about, you know, the future of business. And I think now that you can publish everything online and you're seeing people build in public and really chronicle their journey through building businesses or rising through the ranks in their careers on LinkedIn, like we can see, I think the future of business is going to be much more aligned with this overall leader you talk about and not someone who finds pride in being the expert, but doesn't share or multiply that knowledge, but making sure that people around them are raising up like they do as well. And I think that multiplier effect that you're talking about here is just amazing. And I think that's relatable for all of us, no matter if we're someone who manages teams directly or is a strong individual contributor, but seen as a leader based on being the person who takes on the big projects or that people trust when it's mission critical. So I think that sounds very relatable for all of us.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've had opportunities to chat with some other leaders in the field. And a common conversation is, there's a couple of things. It's easier to do it myself, so I don't want to spend the time showing my team how to do it. I'll just do it myself. And then the other component is, man, if I give my knowledge and skills to somebody else, then what value do I have now? Because now somebody else is doing my job. But I tell them, I was like, okay, so what do you think a company values? Values a singular person that can do a singular thing? Or do they more value a person that is able to do that singular thing plus train another person to do that thing as well and train that person well enough so that they can train another person and you become a leadership factory? And I promise you, a company is going to value a person that becomes a leadership factory. And one of the things that I've always shared with my teams is, when you look to hire somebody, you look to hire somebody that can replace you. And that is probably one of the biggest things. And that's a hard thing to kind of grasp and comprehend is, I'm going to hire you because I feel like you've got the potential to replace me. And I'm going to train you to replace me eventually, or eventually train you so that you get promoted to go to another location in the same position that I'm in right now. And that creates a leadership factory, is where, you know, you as a leader train your team to be just as good as you are, if not better, and to go out there and replicate, multiply that leadership effect. And I feel like that is truly what a company values, is where an individual can grow leaders and remove the dependence of being checklist managed because they know how to take care of business.
Okay, now that we're about 20 minutes in, I'm visualizing these parallels and differences here between checklist and the leadership factor you're talking about. And one of the things I'm curious about, I mean, I'm over here gobbling it up. I've already taken notes. Have you figured out a good way to take this to the masses and mediums aside from your books? Do you do coaching that's one-on-one or one-to-many? Do you do public speaking or you talked about meeting Mike at a seminar. Like what is your amplification and evangelism look like for these new developing?
Well, definitely. So, you know, the book is my first step into sharing my vision, my thoughts and my experiences. And I've done, and I'm working on connecting with podcasts and Mike, I feel blessed that I get to connect with you and share this with the masses on your podcast. And so I'm growing and this is something new for me. So I'm learning along the way and I'm connecting with some incredible people, Mike, you included. And it was simply, when I talk about it before, about that alignment. And so Mike, you are somebody that I saw on LinkedIn and I was like, man, I like this guy's approach. I like how he's doing it. I listened to some of your podcasts. I'm like, I like the conversation. I like the opportunity to share. And so I connected with you. And so now I've got an assignment with you to share my message. And so right now I'm taking my own advice is I'm creating those alignments before the assignment of hopefully someday speaking on stage, creating a coaching opportunity for others so that I can share my information with them. And then I've got to lead myself. This is a totally new world for me. So I've got to start learning this craft of public speaking, this craft of coaching others. So I'm in the process of internal leadership at this point. And hopefully soon, this internal leadership will turn into external leadership where I can start sharing more on a grander scale and get to a point where it's overall leadership. So the people that I share with will be able to take that information and grow and teach other people. So it's always a process, no matter what you're doing. And so, you know, to your point, Mike, I'm doing the internal leadership component right now. And I certainly do hope some point in time I do get to speak either virtually to a group or on stage and share my experiences. And hopefully it'll benefit one or more people.
Oh, it totally will. I think that's just so awesome, Gary. So before we enter some kind of final closing questions I've got prepared, are there any aspects of your story or the work you're doing that you want to make sure we hit on and share today? I do want to make sure we do the story justice of what you're up to and and what this process has been like that you're embarking on.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we all have different paths that we're on. We're all on different journeys. And I think probably the most critical part of that is just enjoying that journey. You know, if we're so focused on getting to that end goal that we lose sight of the journey, then we miss probably the biggest piece of setting a goal. And so what I would tell people is just really enjoy the journey. I mean, you're going to learn a lot of things from it. You may, you know, kind of change your course a little bit, but don't change the goal. And I think the journey is the most important part because that's where you learn the most. That's where you connect with a lot of people. And I, you know, kind of go back to my Iron Man story. I connected with so many different people on that journey. And I learned so many different things along that journey that helped that goal become so much more. And I can relate that same story to my career. You know, I had a goal of working and leading and doing well. And along that way, my journey, I have met some incredible leaders. I've met so many leaders that have taught me so many great things. I'm like, I love what you do. I love what that is. And I pulled that in and I've made it part of who I am as a leader and shared those experiences across the board. So probably the biggest thing I want to share with is it's a process. You're never going to get to the finish line of perfection. So enjoy the journey. Just really absorb the things that you experience through the journey because that is what helps you grow to become a better leader each and every day.
I think if we all had that written on our whiteboard or on a sticky note above our monitor, we'd probably be better for it. I think that's something that we can all be reminded of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So will we see another super fantastic? Is there anything else in the works in terms of books or publications?
Absolutely. So don't tell my publisher yet, but I am, so this is just a secret between us, but I have started formatting and outlining my next book in the trilogy. I would love to make it a trilogy. So we go from the super fantastic principles, the super fantastic process, and you combine those two principles and process. I want to get you to your potential. And so that is my, I'm working on right now, kind of an outline of how to get to your potential and beyond that. So that's my third hopeful book. That's my goal. And I think this journey, like Mike, meeting you is part of that journey, part of that process. And I'm going to learn from these things so that I can share these experiences in the third book so that people can read my story and hear these things so that if they want to do something, here's your steps to get to it.
Oh, totally. Well, I mean, it's been one of my favorite joys of podcasting has just been the ability to meet people like you, but also to practice storytelling. And I think
Oh,
that
yeah.
as you're refining this craft, both written and verbal, I think you're going to be on an amazing journey, and we're all going to be lucky to be part of it with you.
Oh, that's fantastic. I feel blessed to chat with you and share my story with you and all the people that listen to this and watch this. And it's for myself, it's been an incredible journey. And I just want to encourage other people to have journeys as well, because if we just sit down with our checklist, wake up, go to work, go home, then we miss out on the incredible opportunities that these journeys afford us. But we have to be able to be willing to step up to that starting line. Mike, you know as well as anybody, to get to that starting line of an Ironman, it's a journey. And those experiences to get to that are incredible. Now you do the Ironman, and that in of itself is absolutely incredible, but it's that journey to get to that starting line is so incredible. And you meet so many people along the way, and you challenge yourself to go above and beyond what you ever thought would be possible. I mean, you never would have realized that you could, you know, do an Ironman without challenging yourself along that journey. And that's what our lives are. That's what our careers are. If we don't have that goal and we don't take that journey and enjoy that journey, then we miss out on so much. And I just don't want people to miss out on their potential, their opportunities while going on that journey.
I could not agree more. The second to last thing I always end my podcast with, it's become a bit of a ritual, is the favorite show or something that's kind of been binge-worthy for someone, whether that's Netflix or Apple TV. But I want to give you two options here. One would be, has there been a show lately that's caught your attention that's worth talking about? Or I'm looking at this wall behind you. You're clearly a reader. If there's a book that you've been obsessed with, I'd love to give you an option to talk about that as well.
Absolutely. So, man, there's so many books that I'm just obsessed with, and probably the one that I love the most is it's an author, Phil M. Jones. It's called Exactly What to Say. And recently, this is a fun story. So I got a copy of the book, I read it, and it's absolutely incredible. And in fact, I use this book in a lot of my work every single day, because Phil M. Jones gives you kind of a breakdown of how to communicate with people. And it's brilliant. It's like right out of the book, you can start working with it. And so I love this book so much that I reached out to Phil M. Jones and said, "Hey, I love your book. I want an autographed copy of it. I will pay you whatever it takes. I just want an autographed copy of your book because I value you as an author and your information so much." And so I connected with him, and he gave me two tasks to complete in order to get an autographed copy. And so I did those, and I'll share with you those two tasks. And this is the kind of guy that Phil M. Jones is. He said, "Buy somebody lunch and give somebody else a book that they want." And so I did that many times over. And so I finally got my autographed copy of Exactly What to Say by Phil M. Jones. And man, that's probably one of my favorite pieces that I love as a book geek, a book nerd, whatever you want to call me. That was just super exciting. And that to me, you know, speaks of a journey. I read the book. I love it. I started following this guy. I made an alignment with him, and my assignment was to get the autographed copy, and I got it. And I was so excited, and I celebrated it with my wife and friends. They probably weren't as excited as I was, but still Well, but yeah, exactly what to say by Phil M. Jones.
You know what's awesome about that, though, Gary, is that I think a lot of times people hold back from making the ask. I call it shooting your shot, shoot your shot.
Sure.
And I think that you never, ever regret shooting the shot. And it's one thing to get no, but I mean, these kinds of stories, they're out there every single day of people just making the ask and learning something in the process and having a real connection with someone they look up to or respect. So I think that's a super fun story to end on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm still excited about it.
So for someone who wants to get in touch with you, to read your work, to learn more about your leadership principles, or to hear what you're up to at Steadfast, what are some of the best ways for people to get in touch with Gary?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're interested in connecting with me, I have a website. It's thegarygregory.com. And so if you're interested in connecting with me, purchasing copies of my books, coaching or anything of that nature, thegarygregory.com. Easy way to connect.
Okay. And I'll be sure to include your LinkedIn in the show notes as well.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a ton for joining today.
Mike, thank you so much. I feel blessed to connect with you and I appreciate it so much.